It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll get some ideas for fun Wisconsin travel destinations for the whole family this winter.
First, information from the Government Accountability Board shows Governor Scott Walker's gubernatorial campaign failed to report employer information for 6,000 donors. Current campaign finance law requires employer information for donors to be submitted to the GAB, but the campaign finance overhaul bill that passed in the state assembly last week would eliminate that requirement.
A number of other campaigns from both parties also received warnings from the Government Accountability Board. David Cannon is with us to talk about this gap in donor employment information and campaign finance in Wisconsin. He's a professor in the Department of Political Science at UW-Madison. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
So what's the reasoning behind disclosure of who these donations come from?
Well, the idea is that for the donors who give more than $100, you have to list who your employer is, because if there's any perception of impropriety in terms of, let's say, for example, the state legislature, you know, passed a bill to help a mining company. Well, if you're an employee of that company, and you're giving lots and lots of money to legislators who are voting on that legislation, that's something that voters, you know, really have a right to know, because it's the kind of appearance of impropriety that I think is valuable information for voters to have. If you make a change in law, which is being proposed, to no longer have to list your employer, but just list your occupation, it would be much harder, indeed impossible, to trace that kind of connection then between a donation and something that happened with a specific piece of legislation.
And one of the big worries is that an employer could use their employees, in effect, as a pass-through to get rid of limits on donations directly to campaigns.
Well, right. That's another thing that has actually happened in the past. Is there was a case where exactly that happened. And if you no longer had to list your employer, it'd be impossible to track down that type of illegal activity as well.
Now, the Government Accountability Board follows up with campaigns or political committees that have more than 10% of their donor employer information missing under the current law. Governor Walker had a lot of them. He wasn't the only one, though. It sounds like it's fairly common that this information is omitted.
Well, it's common, but it's not like overwhelmingly common. So there are about, in 2014, 1,500 different committees had to file reports. There were 188 that had at least one donor missing, and there were 29 who had 10% or more missing. So that's 29 out of 1,500. So it happens, but it's not that common. The two biggest omissions were the Walker campaign, which came in with about 27% of their donors did not have the employer listed. Mary Burke was actually second, but she only had 2.6% of her donors missing. She was the second in terms of the largest number of people missing, but you know, less than a tenth the proportion that Scott Walker had. So while yes, there are quite a few committees who received these warning letters, 29 altogether, Scott Walker's campaign was clearly the one with both the largest number of people who are missing and the largest percentage as well.
The Accountability Board isn't assessing any kind of penalties. They say that Governor Walker's campaign and the other ones, for that matter, are providing good faith efforts to catch up this information.
That's right. So the Government Accountability Board could have issued fines here, but they decided that the 29 different committees that did receive the warning letters were having a good faith effort to try to get that information, and so they weren't going to issue any fines.
Talking to David Cannon, political scientist at UW-Madison, about a disclosure of a campaign donation, specifically of employer information for donors. Now, David, we're having this conversation in what's now November of 2015. The election in question happened in November of 2014, so it seems like useful information about an election doesn't come to light until well after the election in some cases.
Well, disclosure, there's some kind of disclosure that happens right away with every filing period. And so if someone will actually take the trouble to go to the GAB website, that is reported quarterly on the website in terms of who the contributors are. It's what doesn't get assessed and revealed in any systematic way are these reports that are actually done that come out much later. So you're right, for the voter who just is reading the headlines and seeing what's in the paper, they're not going to be able to get access to information until well after the election. But there is some information on campaign activity, both contributions and spending, that is available not quite in real time, but in a timely fashion before the election as well.
Let's get into this idea for changing the law. As you say, dropping the disclosure of who the employer is and requiring less disclosure, I think that it doubles the amount. $200 would be the minimum. The argument is, if you're disclosing the employer, there might be retaliation. So if my company, Rob's Widget Works, donates to a candidate, that candidate's opponents don't like that, they could boycott or threaten or harass me. Is that a valid argument, do you think? Is that a real concern?
Well, certainly we have seen voter-inspired boycotts of different corporations in the past for what have been seen to be unpopular political positions they've taken. I know in several states that had same-sex marriage on the ballot, there were statewide efforts to boycott corporations who had come out either in favor or opposed to same-sex marriage, depending on the perspective of the group that was organizing the boycott. So clearly, corporations are subject to that type of boycott based on their political positions. On the other hand, it seems to me that's part of the political process, that if a corporation goes out there and is donating to different campaigns and taking political positions, or if they're organizing their employees to make those donations, then they end up having to defend those positions. Now, where it could be seen as unfair, I think, would be if the business didn't make any effort, sort of collectively to raise money to give to a cause or to a candidate, but yet then a lot of their employees ended up giving money in that direction anyway, then I suppose you could say that that's unfair that they would be targeted by a boycott. But you'd have to think that if there wasn't a concerted effort to organize it, then it should be more evenly split between, a liberal cause and a conservative cause, or a Democrat and a Republican. It seems unlikely to me you'd get, say, 95% of all donations going to one direction for a given business unless it was a concerted effort to do so.
And we've been focusing on this employer disclosure. That's not the only part of campaign finance law that's being changed. Another one has to do with coordination between campaigns and outside issue groups in accordance with court rulings on this. What kind of changes are we looking at here?
Right. This, I think, is probably even a more significant change than the part on disclosing the employer. So here it would basically allow any kind of coordination between the express advocacy groups, the issue groups that are not saying vote for or vote against someone, but are advocating for different issues, and can raise unlimited amounts of money to do that, and then be able to coordinate with campaigns to spend that money on the campaign's behalf, running ads on behalf of a candidate. Previously, you couldn't have that kind of coordination between an issue group and a campaign. Now, to reflect the recent Supreme Court decision, this legislation would make that kind of coordination legal, and that's something that campaign reform advocates are very concerned about, because they say this will be a source now of pretty much unlimited money in state elections.
And this is something that it seemed like there used to be a bright line that candidates try to steer clear of. The last John Doe investigation was in large part about this issue of coordination.
Right.
Now that's going to be done if this change happens.
That's right. This will be an entirely different, uncharted territory that it's really hard to predict how this will play out. But it seems clear, if this law is changed in this way, that it will make it much easier to have larger amounts of unregulated money influencing elections, because the line between these issue groups and groups that are expressly advocating for a candidate is pretty fuzzy. Like, you can be watching an ad and it seems like it's an ad in favor of one candidate or opposed to a candidate, but it's really an issue ad. If you just don't say the magic words of vote for, vote against, basically it's an issue ad. And so for the average voter watching an ad, you really can't tell the difference between those types of ads. And so what it means is that we will have huge amounts of unregulated money being in elections now because of this ability to coordinate now between the issue groups and campaigns.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
That's David Cannon, professor of the Department of Political Science at UW-Madison, with us to talk about the news that Governor Walker's campaign for governor last year failed to send in required employer information for thousands of donors.